Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, angels, and welcome to our Thursday night transformation call. And you know, because it's January, and it's the end of the in with the old and out with the new, and we got that January 1, 2015. I have a friend of mine. You guys have heard her before. She is amazing. She's wonderful with prophetic dreams and prophecy, and she works in the government herself, and she's done a lot of different things and has got a lot of different degrees. I think one of the degrees you have is anti-terrorism, right? How to protect, right? Victoria, it's Victoria, oh, yeah, you guys.
It's in the terrorist studies, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and she looks great. She looks like Rebecca from Sunnybrook Farm. She's beautiful. So, you know, you think that people that do what you do sometimes would be wearing military fatigues, carrying a gun. And I know you were in the military and you did that, but you know what I'm saying? You look like so sweet and so innocent. And I'm not saying that you're not, because I don't think you could tap into what you tap into if you didn't have a clean heart and a clear mind, and you want the best for our country, for, you know, for the universe, for our city state, for individuals, and, you know, everybody involved. I know that about you. And that's the reason why I want you to do this 2015 yearly reading for us as a whole group of people, and for our country, for our culture, and also for the world, and because we've got a lot of different stuff going on there. So I thought I would break it up like this. Obama is our world, not a world, but is our leader now, our president, or whatever you want to call. How do you think he's going to do this, you know, this year in 2015 with his decision-making? And I know that some of us aren't crazy about Obama. I'm more of a conspiracy person myself. But how do you think Obama's going to, what we're going to see, you know, in the public eye? Is he going to make great, great decisions? Is he going to be mentally sound? Is he going to be physically sound? And I can feel people now saying, he's neither of any of those. And some people are saying, yeah, he's all of those. So what do you feel as a prophetic reader that you are, and you have a great knowledge about our government? Tell us about Obama and some things what you feel about him.
You know, putting my own opinions aside, because I have my own, you know, human opinions about him. But I do think that, you know, previously, you know, last year, I think he walked around like almost as if he felt like he was untouchable. Do you know what I mean? Like he was able to do the things that he wanted to do with no repercussions. But I think this year, I think is where he's going to see that there are repercussions, and he's going to feel a whole lot more pressure from outside forces, being like, you know, whether it's within the government or maybe even with allies, on some of the decision making that he has done in the past that might be coming up and, so to speak, like biting him in the butt, you know. And I think he is going to get more, he's going to show more wear and more tear when he's out in public and speaking. And it's going to show that it's this whole, his whole process of being president is taking a toll on him and his health, you know. And I think he's not going to realize that some of his quick comments that he might make, you know, when he's giving speeches, might be what's going to hurt him in the long run, you know. Because we all, when we're talking to people, we're just like, we might say something, you know, it falls out, and it's like those little slips of the tongue are what's going to really hurt him.
They're going to bite him in the ass, you say. I got you.
Yeah.
So you think he's going to have some health problems. You know, I'm going to agree with you on that, too, as well. And you are so good. You said you talk about how he's made flip decisions, and it's really going to bite him because, you know, he's not able to back it up, right? Or maybe he is, okay? So, okay. You know, he is, I'm going to ask you this feeling, and guys, I'm going to say this is public knowledge, this isn't me trying to do anything, because I have my own thoughts on the government. As I said, I'm a conspiracy theory person more than anything, so, and she's putting her thoughts aside, but our country was $7 trillion in debt, before he took office, and now we're $17 trillion in debt, and he has incurred the most debt out of any president, okay? That is a public fact, okay? So what do you feel about that? How do you think he's going to answer for that? Or will he ever answer for it? Or is this him suffering physical illness because of those kind of decisions that he's made.
Well, I think, you know, initially he thought it was going to be probably beneficial to do playing that he's done with the finances of this country. I think
right.
he had great grand aspirations for, like, things like Obamacare and other ways that he thought he would somehow make money for the country or at least redistribute it. But I think those have failed, and they haven't really been productive like he had thought. And now he really is truly going to be wearing the weight of all that debt on himself. You'll see he'll become even grayer in the hair. You'll see it because he really thought he was going to be able, like, people were going to bite off of all these ideas that he had for the country, for the finance in that area, and it's just not happening.
I gotcha. Let me ask you one more question about him. And I got these questions actually from other people too. So, you know, I asked a few people to participate. Do you feel that, or in your prophecy, your feelings, your dreams, things that you're able to do, do you think that, you know, he's becoming older and grayer, but do you think that the way that some of the programs that he's tried to introduce and haven't made it, Do you feel that this is not only going to make him, and I've asked this again, but I'm asking it a different way, it's only not only making him older and grayer, but really suffering, if not this year, in the next couple of years, where he's getting really sick? Because I see him getting sick this year, but on some level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think he's going to get sick. I mean, I think everything's starting to wear on him a lot. Like, I feel almost like he's going to have something with his stomach. I think a lot of
his
stomach.
Victoria, is it true? Yeah.
I just feel a lot of very, like, a lot of stomach issues, whether it's an ulcer or something where he's not able to digest correctly, or it's just something in his gut. And it could be from worry. It could be wearing the worry, and it affects him in his stomach. Do you know what I mean? You typically see most presidents who come into office, they start out really nice, like brown-haired and black hair, or whatever, and guaranteed by the end of the years they serve, they're white. And it's, you know, I don't take it back that the president, you know, being a president is easy, because it's not. And I'm not saying there's a stellar president out there that did everything perfect, but he's definitely going to feel the weight of it this year, and I think he is really going to be sick, and it's going to affect his body.
Okay, another question I've gotten, somebody sent this one in. Do you think there is going to be another leader that will possibly run for president that is not, you know, we all have our thoughts on about that, that will make a difference in the next election, that's going to show up in some kind of government position this year or next year? Well, let's go this year.
Or whenever the year is coming for the new president.
Right. I mean, can they be running for some kind of whatever? I'm not familiar with the government per se a lot, like the ins and outs, like some people are not, but I know a little bit. But do you think there's going to be some kind of person, a government person that's going to show up and just be like a knight in shining armor kind of guy that's going to run for some sort of office, and this is someone we keep an eye on? What do you feel? Do you think that?
I do feel that we're going to have some form of political relief, so to speak.
Okay.
I'm not sure where within the government it's going to come, but there is going to be someone who is going to be the voice of reason. So they're going to be the one that's going to put things back on track to a more, I'm going to say, like, an American way. Because, like, I think right now there's a lot of people that are not quite happy with the way that the country is going, just because it's not going the way the country has been. So they're uncomfortable with the path that it's been on, and so they want to have that comfort of what America is. Do you know what I mean? And so this person's going to bring that back, and it's going to rally the troops, you know, in the sense that people are really going to finally have hope in the country, whereas right now I don't think there is much of it.
I get you. I'm inclined to agree with you with this. Now, here's something else. I got a question. This is a question. And this is a good one. I was like, wow. There's somebody asked me, sent a question, said, I would like to know, about how if somebody's going to turn this around, how are we going to break that Obamacare, you know, where he's made it so easy for all of us in this country to get Medicaid, food stamps, and all this. Do you think people are going to be ready to let that go and be like we were in the past? Okay, so I'm going to say it like that. They said it differently, and I can't remember. But how do you feel about that with our a new government showing up, or a new person official showing up, and who you feel, and I feel the same way, that can make a difference and put us back on track? But we have a whole group of people that are now getting, you know, food stamps, Medicaid, all those kind of things. And I'm not asking that from a personal point. I want you to know, this is a question that was posed to me.
No, of course.
To give to you. So what do you feel about that?
There's going to be changes where people are going to realize that we're not going to have the handouts that are currently being given out now, where it's easily obtained. So unfortunately, you know, you can't sit there and say, okay, we need to take it all back now, right? So it's going to be
You can't do that. I agree. Right.
But I believe that there's going to be stricter enforcement on retaining the benefits. So the people who have them are going to have to either show proof of whether it's employment or proof of something in order to retain it or keep what they're getting. And then if not, then it's going to be taken away. Do you know what I mean? So it's going to be a slow process, but they're going to start weeding out those who don't deserve it. And keep those who actually really do deserve, you know, just the same as, you know, this whole where people are getting like driver's license or becoming a citizen that aren't here legally. That too will be something where, you know, right now it's like, yay, you know, hey, come, don't worry about it. You're legal. It's okay. But you need to get this document in order just to stay. And so, in turn, in getting that document, we're going to be able to extract a lot of information about these people, and some of them will not want to provide that, and that's for a way of weeding them out as well.
Okay, I got you. So that's changing. I was wondering about that myself. So, because we create a lot of cripples when we give it without. When people are able to do certain things, and I get you. Let's talk about the U.S. dollar and the financial institutions. You know, my father told me this. He said in January the U.S. dollar is not going to be the world currency any longer. This January, and a lot of people, I'm not sure, know that or don't know that. How do you think that's going to affect us as a country culture? Not only here, but, you know, outside of in Europe and other countries as well. I mean, we're $17 trillion in debt, and, you know, we're supposed to be the leader. And I don't know. So what is your thoughts about that, Sia?
I think this is part of the whole, like, the awakening part for us as Americans, in the sense that we thought for a very long time that we were invincible, right? So...
Right.
Our country is invincible. We had great allies. We knew where we stood. The world was our, you know, our, not our castle, but the world was, we knew where we stood. Do you know what I mean? And the changes that we had politically affected that in such a grand scale that the faith in us, the faith in our currency, the faith in our backing allies up has dwindled. And so in that sense, the dollar itself has now become not irrelevant, but it has not become one of the most sought after currencies anymore because of the value of what we are, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So I think it's like the euro is going to become more of a dominant currency than the US dollar will be, you know, and that's going to cause us to have problems in the sense of financial stability within our own, investments, I should say. I'm trying to find the right word for it. In our own investment. So we just have to begin, since knowing that the dollar isn't the primary anymore, we're probably secondary. Do you know what I mean? that we just have to
right.
become more financially savvy with what we have and to understand that the good ship lollipop isn't there anymore, you know, and we just have to become more responsible, financially responsible.
So we have to breathe in. Okay. And that, and you know, you're saying some things that are, they sound great. And so I want to talk to you about a couple other things too as well. Okay. Here's a question for you. Are financial institutions, and I think you just answered it, you know, are they stable? You know, are they able to, do we have the stock market? Is the stock market stable? Do you see it crashing? Do you see it suffering? What do you feel? What do you think? You know, so,
I think for the stock market, my initial thoughts about the stock market is that we're going to have devastations within the stock market, and the devastations are due in part to things like terrorist attacks. Or hacking into companies and so on. It's going to cause the pandemonium that terrorist attacks are known to do. Because attacks are attacks. They're great. You know, they kill people. Okay, fine. But really what they do is to instill fear. And what a better way to instill fear against Americans than to hurt their economy. And the way to do that is to affect business, which would affect the stocks, which would affect finances. So we're going to have some of that reactionary things happen within the stock market that is going to make the fluctuations, you know, hurt, especially for people who really do play the stock market. So it's almost like, you know, the people who watch the stock markets and know how to read the numbers, which I have absolutely no idea, but those who watch it every day to be able to manipulate their funds and to move things need to also really, really, really pay attention to the trends on what's going on with like terrorist organizations or rumors of attacks or things of that nature, and be very quick about moving their funds around.
Cool. Okay. Now, terrorist attacks, do you feel like there's like an actual attack going to happen here in Europe or anywhere in the world?
There are going to be tons of little ones all over the place. It's becoming more prevalent. The groups are totally wanting to attack Westerners, so Europe is going to be a big place where it's going to happen in places that you never thought would, just like what happened in Paris recently.
Right.
You know, and it's not going to be like, you know, let's say if he was alive, like Osama bin Laden's not going to be like, hey, let's go attack over in Paris. It's going to be those people who just support the ideological concepts of what each group is, and they're going to do it in their own lone wolf process. So it's going to be very difficult in the sense of attributing who's to blame, but they're going to do it anyway for the sake of, you know, Islam and the jihadi values. So it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of little ones all over the place. People who travel, just be careful. You know, it's not, the stability of the populace in the world is going to be very unstable just because they're out there, they're waiting. And they're going to be indiscriminate on who they do it to.
So, are you feeling in your prophetic, you know, your, because I know that part of you that gets the prophetic dreams and the gifts of prophecy and that has those moments. Do you feel it's more in Europe or here in the States or both, or is that appropriate question to ask?
More in Europe, but there, you know, of course, the motherland being America is always their major focus. I mean, if they could get away with it here, I think we're more up on our security for here because of the fact that, you know, we've had 9/11. We know that you're in the country that are not great people. But our, you know, Homeland Security and FBI and all those people have been really strengthening their ranks in order to prevent another major attack to happen here. So if it were to happen, it would be something not at like a Boston Marathon anymore, because now once they've done one thing successfully, we're going to attack those security measures with more vigor. Just like, you know, the airlines traveling and all that stuff is very hard for people to travel and try to get into our country and do something stupid in an airplane because we have all the TSA guidelines in place and we're really strict on it. So they're going to do something probably different than what we're expecting, which is their usual MO anyway. But I do believe Europe is going to have a lot. It's just going to happen a lot. There are so many terrorist embedded in almost every country that you would, you know, it could be anywhere. It's just a matter of opportunity for them.
I gotcha. So here's a question for you. I got this too as well, and I'm not even sure where this is coming from. By the way, the thing you said about companies and attacking companies or something like that, I saw
mm-hmm.
that the other day on some program. I always watch Hallmark, and it was on like, I can't remember, but a company had put a hoax out there about something, them being invaded or not invaded, but do you understand, like being attacked or whatever, and it compromised their whole system. But it turned out, I think it was the company itself that had done that. So you're saying stuff like that can happen, like companies turning on companies.
Sony hacking. You know, the whole Sony hacking was, I think, a big test. You know, I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, yes, that's it. Yeah. That one. Yeah, Sony. Yeah. Okay.
That whole thing, like, I think it's a test. You know, they don't, of course, we're not going to hear in the media exactly what the true or what. But, I mean, it is a real problem. Do you know what I mean? And it's a possibility. And then just having it that big of a deal happen is kind of like a way that they could show up, like, hey, this is what we could do. You know, and then, and I do think, you know, if you think of a tax that would hurt and cripple people the most, why not something that's financial or with a business? You know, so it is definitely big and possible for sure.
Okay, I got you. Interesting. All right, so here's a question. I got this, and I'm not sure what they're talking about. All right, so I'm going to put it out there to you because you talk about the Antichrist, and it's not a person, it's a movement you feel. And so this person emailed me and said, okay, you want to know my thought, my question? Here it is. It says in the book of, delightful book that it is in the Bible, it says that a leader is going to rise from the dead, and he's going to be hurt or killed, and then he's going to rise from the dead. And he asked me, is that Obama? I'm like, well, that's a great question. So, I mean, you know, you get all kinds of questions. So what are your thoughts about that, or do you have any at all? Because I was like, wow. You know, and I feel Obama's going to get sick, of course, because he's, you know, been sick. Is he one of those? Is he that person, or is that even a question that's even right to ask? I don't know.
I don't think, and I for some reason I really strongly feel that I don't think that the Antichrist is someone from American soil.
Okay.
Because of, I don't believe that Obama has enough power to attract the masses to follow him. There's too many people against him to have people for him. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I don't think, because, you know, I posed a question on Facebook to my friends just to see what would happen. And, of course, I got the very typical answers, which are like, oh, Nancy Pelosi and Obama. I'm just like, no, you guys don't understand. The Antichrist is not an American. You know, and that's why I think it's a movement. Now, when we think about the Antichrist dead and rising again, how about the movement of Osama bin Laden? He's dead.
Ah.
The movement continued. Do you know what I mean? So it continued, and now they have a new leader who's also, you know, within the Muslim community who follows the same ideology as Osama bin Laden does. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, cool.
So this guy who they're calling the caliphate has been within the jihadi circles as long as Osama bin Laden did. Do you know what I mean? So now it's almost like, you know, bin Laden died, and now surfaced another leader who's now gathering a large quantity of masses of people to follow. We're talking large quantities where, you know, we could sit there and be against them, but they're still converting, they're still turning to this ideology in masses, you know, and that they're following with full heart. Like, they really, these people truly, truly believe that what they're doing is what they're supposed to. And it's like, dude, this is what God said, you know, this is it. But they're being manipulated by the ideology. And that's the part that's the scary part, because it's like, if you compare it to Hitler, look how many people followed him and truly believed that what he was saying was absolute. You know what I mean?
Right.
With full heart. I mean, these people did what his bidding with all, you know, their heart. But it wasn't to the extreme that this is. Do you know what I mean? Because these people are out there all over the world, whereas Hitler only attracted within his country, you know, and those outside of it that chose to come in. But it was only really a small fraction in comparison to what this, you know, this ISIS stuff, the ISIL, the people that are embedded in Algeria, Mali, all these terrorist organizations that believe in the same, you know, ideology are banding together all over the world. And that's a big quantity of people. And that's the type of movement we're talking about. Because if you think about Obama, I'm like, come on, people, really?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was like, what? I was like, I need to ask somebody about that. So,
but it's typical,
you know,
because, you know, people do think that it is him. I'm like, yeah, he's not necessarily doing decision-making on the side of what America stands for. And I get that. And people are like, wow, he's the Antichrist. And I've heard that tons of times. But when you talk about the definition of what Antichrist is and what they're supposed to be, it's supposed to be a world movement. In the Bible, it talks about someone to in masses within the world, from the take over the world. I don't think Obama has aspirations to take over the world.
Okay. He just caused a little havoc there, I guess, if you believe in, believe in Obama not being the one. I personally am a conspiracy person, as I've said twice tonight, so I think they're bunch of puppets, you know, that's the, you understand what I'm saying. So, and you guys
are
listening.
Oh, I do. No,
and,
I totally do.
Yeah, and
I mean,
we'll download it later
to
get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Illuminati. Yeah. So I think the Illuminati's always been in charge and will continue. All right, so that's cool. So let me ask you a question. Do you have any thoughts or feelings about this country? Because I've asked you some questions that people sent me. What is things that you feel or you want to share with us tonight about it? And is there a way that we can make a difference and change certain things and make it easier for us to come out of this on top? What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I would definitely say, like, first and foremost, and this is just as being, like, an American, you know, when given the opportunity to vote, vote. When given the opportunity to voice your opinions, write your congressman, okay? Those are just basic, just normal, you know, ways that you could at least say that you did your part and what you're allowed to do in this world. But besides that, I do think we're going through a challenging period. I think it's on the tail end of the challenging period where I think, you know, people realize that what's good is what is known to have worked before. So, I mean, I think our country is beginning to realize that we like to function as America functions, period, that we can't be creative and establish a new America. And I think people are just realizing that. So we are starting to go through that process of change where now we're going to start seeing us on the upside of the upswing, I guess you could say, versus the downswing.
Sure.
You know, so I think the end of 2014 was the beginning of the upswing, where now we're going to start seeing more positive decisions and stuff. And as Americans, you know, you can sit there and say, pray. Do you know what I mean? Send out good vibrations, you know, pray for good decisions by the people who really want to make the difference in this world. You know what I mean? Pray and say, you know, we want the good to overdominate the evil, that good decisions are going to happen. And just be sending out to the universe as much positive energy as we could so that way we can dominate being the positive people over the negative. You know, but we are on the upswing, but it's going to take time, you know, just like anything else, you know. But it's going to be little increments, a little here, a little there, and just be positive is what I, you know, definitely would say.
And this is all part of the ascension process, right? I agree.
Yeah.
You know, too.
Yes.
Okay.
This is all, you know, it's all an eye-opening experience. You know, some people are like, oh, God, I can't wait till the next president. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. But the next president's going to also give us our own tests and our own challenges to build us up, you know, to where we should be, you know, and weed out the bad and keep the good. So
yeah,
it is a process, but to unite in the sense of being positive people and knowing that in order to overcome evil, you just have to really send out the good vibrations, you know, law of attraction and all that stuff, you know. So pray, you know, talk, you know, send out, be like, I'm giving good juju out to the universe, to all the politicians that believe in the same thing I do. You know, just something that will give out some good vibrations, because we need it, sadly.
Yeah, I think so too as well. And you know what's really cool is I just talked to a friend of mine, and he has just joined the military, and they changed the enlistment age to 34. And so, you know, that's a cool thing. And people, oh, I don't want people to serve. I don't want to serve in the country or the government and all that. I mean, man, you know, support your government. Support by writing, you know, writing letters, you know, and doing that. But support a military and support your kids or your sons or your daughters or whoever going in. Doesn't mean that they'll be on the battlefield, but to have that kind of cool energy that somebody wants to join and take care of us as a whole, I think is huge. I found out a lot about my dad, and you know, he was in the military and had several uncles in the military, and one of them died saving. He was 18 years old, and he was in the Pacific Rim, I guess in Japan, near Japan or whatever. And because Europe was fighting Germany, and we were fighting Japan, and his organization or his soldiers that were with him were in trouble, and he crawled on his stomach to where the Japanese were in the house that they were making the decisions and calling out orders. And his group would never have made it. And he took a bomb, a grenade, and he blew up that house with all those soldiers in there, our officers in there, making the decisions, and killed himself, you know. Now, I thought, what an honor, what bravery, right? And we just don't see that too much now. And maybe if we support our government, maybe if we support our military and support the people going in and just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to pray for you every day, then, you know, we'll make a difference that way. I know when I heard that story about my uncle, I was like, wow. When I think about you serving, I know you served like, wow, you know, and I'm just internally grateful for people like you, like my uncle, like others, and like my friend who's getting ready to join, and he's just been married for about a year. But he comes from a whole family full of military, and he couldn't join before because of his back. And I think that right there is something that we really need to embrace. You know what I mean? And I know my heart is like, hey, I pray for every one of them and say that every night. But I had no idea from the lineage I came from. Yeah, I'm sure.
To serve in the military is a sacrifice. I don't, you know, speaking just quickly, I guess, on this, I joined when I was 29. And I was close to the cap where I think it was like 30 at the time or maybe 32.
Right.
To join.
Yeah, it was 30 because they just upped it to 34, you know, so.
And
isn't that cool?
I was made fun of by drill sergeants when I was going through basic, because as they went around the room and they asked people why they joined, they got to me and they're like, so why'd you join? I was like, there's my country. And they just looked at me like they never had anyone say that. And I really, you know, the sacrifices military folks make, they get taken away from their families oftentimes for long periods of time. The living conditions where they go is not necessarily optimum. It's better than nothing. You know, the pay is not great. You know, like, there's a lot of sacrifice to be made. And especially now with the fronts, you know, that we are fighting, you know, the warfare is crappy. It's horrible. Post-traumatic stress disorder is rampant. And they do it because it's selfless service, and it's a sacrifice for what their country stands for them. And I think that's important for people to realize that it's not just that they want to go out and kill people, because nobody joins to kill. I mean, well, maybe, you know, after 9/11, people are like, oh, I just want to go kill those bad people. But in reality, like, you do it to serve, you know, because you are a representative of this country. When you walk around with that uniform, you are America. And I think it's really important to support veterans, to support the wounded soldiers, and also to support those that are active duty, because it is a very, very tough job to carry the weight of the country on your shoulders when you go out and do your job.
Amen to that. Listen, we're running out of time, Victoria, and thank you for sharing. And you guys, I think it's important to, you know, we're spiritual here at Angel Coaches, and we believe in God and the angels and Jesus and Buddha, whoever you mm-hmm. believe in, that's, you know. But one thing I want to make sure is that, you know, I think we're pragmatic, because given the 2015 yearly reading about our country and our culture and the world is great, but backing it up with saying, hey, embrace your government, embrace new leaders coming aboard, and send out great energy and make the sacrifice, whatever you can do, to write letters, and also to love your family that's serving and love the other people's family that's serving. That's what you call really making a difference and keeping it real. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and have someone like yourself who's a soldier who's got who works in the government and say, hey, I've got to give prophetic dreams and this is what I see. And at the end of this conversation, you're saying, I'm saying, and I'm sure everybody's going to agree, serve your country, love your country, and do the best you can, and quit downplaying or speaking negative about our government. We got some real problems, but you know what? If we look ahead instead of looking back, and always, there's no reverse here, you got to move forward, and that's mm-hmm. important. And yep. Victoria, you were amazing. Yeah, makes a difference. Always move forward. There's no reverse here, guys. Anyway, take care, everybody. Have a great now, and we will see you on Sunday with Di and I doing our relationship show. And say that real fast. Relationship show. All good.
Anyway, take
yeah. Anyway, take care, everybody. Have a good night, and have a great weekend, and have a great now. Bye now.
Bye, guys.